I remember just being like terrified to go into school. First of all, my parents had to like force me, and I'd cry and kick because it just everything the teacher asked me to do or whatever, like I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't follow along. What's interesting to me is I didn't appreciate learning until after I got out of school. And so as I was on a call with my dad, I was just thinking it would be so much easier if I could just have him be able to record this phone call, push a button, and have it go right into iTunes. People have their earphones in their ears, and they have their earphones, and so you're right in somebody's ear. That is a very intimate way to connect to somebody. So it's like it gives you this kind of like, I don't know, pickup line, if you will, where you have an opportunity to get to know somebody because you actually are putting out a platform where the whole purpose is just to like learn.
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. I just want to take a moment to say thank you for being part of our mission. Thank you for leading with the heart and having the courage to go out in the world and live a full life. Thank you for being kind, thank you for being open, and thank you for being you. I could never do this without you and all the incredible people that share so open-heartedly on the show. The journey continues, and as you know by now, our mission is to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. At a young age, this week's guest, Adam Weber, was sent in for testing, and as a result, he was told that he was dyslexic. From that moment on, the discovery had a huge impact on the trajectory of his life. In effect, he was told that he was different from his friends, something that he had a hard time coming to terms with, but it explained the pain and frustration that he was experiencing at school. As he got older, he discovered that he loved to learn, but in a different way than the traditional framework of schooling. Adam decided he would learn from listening to other people's stories. What made people tick? What made each of us unique and special in our own ways? Adam loves adventure and meeting people and learning about their lives. He believed that it's important for people to have more patience with each other and to take time to listen. He was raised on a heavy dose of NPR and became a huge fan of podcasting. When his last product that he developed with a small team ended up closing down, he began working on a podcasting solution to make it easier for busy people to record a podcast together and get it published on iTunes. It is called Callcast. He is here today to encourage each one of us to create a podcast, connect with the people who inspire us, the people we love, the people we want to try and learn from by creating a podcast and simply asking that person, do you mind if I interview you and learn more about your story? In this way, we'll bring the world together. Let's welcome the amazing Adam Weber to the I Love Success podcast.
Cheers, Peter. Cheers. Thank you so much. And I always love sitting down with you and getting to spend time with you. So,
yeah, me
thanks
too.
For the honor.
Yeah, it's been an honor. And I mean, this is kind of, even though we've been here in the past, this kind of feels unique. Because I've been a good friend of you for a long time now, and I've been seeing your vision of creating something where you help people to share stories, and now it's finally out there. And I haven't gone through what you have and all the struggles to actually get this done, but I've had the honor of being on the sidelines and kind of see that journey. So I just want to honor that today and kind of go a little bit deeper, because what I believe is that there's a reason for why we're doing things. So let's just go back to that day. Do you remember when you were told you were dyslexic?
Yes. Well, even before the day that I was told that I was dyslexic, I remember going into school. And this is at a very, very young age, you know, like, I don't even know, like first grade, second grade,
yeah,
you know, very young. And I remember just being like terrified to go into school. First of all, my parents had to like force me, and I'd cry and kick because it just, everything the teacher asked me to do or whatever. Like, I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't follow along, whether it was just kind of like reading very simple things at an early age or even like little things. Like, I couldn't even, I don't even remember, but just, I remember things making me so upset, like not being able to figure out how to tie my shoes, coloring inside the lines, everything I did, I'd look over at someone else and they were just naturally doing it. And for me, it felt like it was a puzzle. Like, I couldn't figure anything out. And it just felt so much stress and so much pressure. And at that time, you know, dyslexia wasn't really talked about or known about in schools. And I just felt really picked on by the teachers because they looked at me as more like a problem kid who's acting out. And so, you know, kids would come in from recess and I just would not come back to school. I'd hide in the bushes until the principal. So every single day I'd end up in the principal's office every day. And, finally, they were like, something is up. And so my parents brought me in to get testing. And I took these tests, and the person administering the test said, oh, well, this is no surprise that he's having so much trouble in school because he's dyslexic. And so then I had to learn about what that was. And I remember my mom bringing me home and telling me, you know, like, you know, you're different than the other kids. You learn differently, so you're going to have to get taught in a different way. And I just remember crying like crazy and not wanting to leave my like two best friends that I had at that school. It just kind of like forever, I think, impacted me in ways in which for a long time, like I never was conscientious of in terms of how it impacted me, but like...
Did it make you feel stupid?
Oh, big time, big time. And that's still stuff that haunts me to this day, you know, like, just like being good enough, feeling stupid was a huge thing, being humiliated, because the teacher would call me up in front of the class on purpose just to humiliate me in front of the class. And I just remember everybody every day laughing at me, like, he can't read what's on the board, or he can't do the problem on the board or whatever. So everyone just remember just, you know, so I would just... And my body still it's amazing how your body like can remember these things. And so like to this day, like I can feel like my heat rising and I get red and flushed and uncomfortable. And so when I'm put in situations like that, you know, it's I immediately kind of go back. I recess into that like level of stress that my body feels, and just feel like kind of the whole class laughing at me kind of, memory is just kind of ingrained in my brain. And so that's something I've always wrestled with for years and years and years to come. And later in life, I had my own coping mechanisms in order to deal with those kind of situations. So kind of through life, I've always been having to respond or learn from that situation, not always in positive and good ways, but in ways that I just ended up you know, handling it or dealing with it.
You know, it's so interesting when I got your, like, a little bit more about what we're supposed to talk about today, and I never knew that you are dyslexic, and I known you for years, and I was so, like, because, like, it's so interesting when you don't know about anyone. That would be the last thing. Mm. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just something you deal with, right? That's life. We don't know what we have, what we don't have. You deal with it and make the best out of it. But, like, my view of you is, like, first of all, you're, like, this alpha male, like, coming into a room, like, owning it. And like you're always so kind as well and want to help others. I'm just... amazed of you as a human being, and I appreciate everything you have done for me. So I'm just kind of curious, do you think your kindness and your like going out in the world comes from you know what it feels to feel pain?
100%. Yeah, I think and this is something my mom always would tell me about myself too, is just like, I'd always identify, like in school, I'd look for whoever was getting picked on or whoever was in the weakest, and I'd immediately gravitate to that person and try and like, you know, kind of like shed new light in the situation that, you know, you don't have to be picked on, you don't have to be this way or whatever, and kind of shut that down really, really quickly.
Yeah, like almost like a superhero, I think, because I remember one time when we had surfed and there was this, we almost got into a fight because you really wanted to protect someone that someone was stealing their shoes, or at least we believed that. And I was so amazed, like most people just, they just stayed and they didn't do anything, but you are, had that power to kind of stand up for what's unfair in life, even mm-hmm. when it means putting yourself in danger. And like, how, like, where does that courage come from to do that?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think it might be, it's a mixture of things. I think honestly, a lot of it is like you mentioned, the unjustness.
Yeah.
I think I felt, because I was forced into like having to go to school. I know that sounds stupid because it's a privilege to be able to have a school system. But like at that age, to me, it felt like this is not fair. Like this is not who I am and I'm being forced to do this or whatever. So I've always had a problem with unjust, or, and then also like feeling picked on or laughed at by the class and stuff, like, you know, I know what that feels like, and I don't want other people to have to go through that. So I've always been big on like, you know, that never liking kind of bullying situation, kind of wanting to stop that as soon as possible. And I've learned lessons throughout the way. I've not always been perfect, you know, like, you know,
of course we're humans, right? And that's beautiful. I'm like, what I really want to talk about here today is Callcast. And like, I'm passionate about podcasting. The reason I started podcasting was that I listened to a guy called Brian Rose, who has an amazing show called London Real. And I was like, I want to make and create the podcast because I want to learn from all these amazing people. And then we kind of connected, and I realized that you were so passionate about this. And you were always talking about different projects, and then you found this idea to help people, like, make it easier to record a podcast. Because I struggled a lot. I didn't know shit when I was starting a podcast. So, like, it would have been great for me to have a tool like Callcast when I started out. So can you just talk about, like, where did that, like, when did you get that, like, I'm gonna do this?
Right. So, yeah, and in full disclosure, you know, to your audience, as I was building Callcast, I definitely came to you for advice, and I saw the amazing work that you were doing with your podcast, and you were a man on a mission, and you were dedicated and working hard on creating content. And so, like, being able to have you as a sounding board as I was building this app, and show you and get your feedback has been a really appreciative, amazing, valuable experience for me to have someone like you in my corner.
Awesome. I'll take a couple of shares and then we're good.
So yeah, it might be worth nothing at the end of the day, but
I don't think so. This is going to be big. I truly believe that.
So at that time, yeah, when we met, I was working on another project for, it's a development project that I had been working on with a team, and we had, you know, a whole sales team down in Orange County selling the product and, you know, making sales calls every day. And it was just like, to me, a project I was working on that was felt very empty. I was miserable doing it. It felt like such a grind. I didn't love the product. Yeah. I didn't love what we were selling. I was, you know, just really hating it. I went home, and I was visiting with my dad, and on the drive home, my dad was asking me, like, oh, how do I make a podcast? And so I started saying, well, you know, I think there's some tools out there that you can use. When I get back to LA, I'll hop on like a Skype call and show you what you can do. And so I tried to get my dad to download some of the software on his computer. And I was in LA and he was in New Mexico. And I was like, it was such a struggle just trying to, like, be able to get the tools downloaded onto his computer. You know, first he's on Safari and he goes to the website to download it, and it's like, oh, this is only works on Chrome or Firefox, and he's just getting frustrated. And you know, 25 minutes into it, he's like, oh, forget about it, we'll do this another time, which means it's never gonna get done.
Yeah.
And so as I was on a call with my dad, I was just thinking it would be so much easier if I could just have him be able to record this phone call, push a button, and have it go right into iTunes. And, you know, that'd be the, you know, the easiest possible way to ever record a, you know, everyone knows how to make a phone call.
Yeah.
So why not just record that and push it right into iTunes?
So that's so interesting. Sorry for interrupting you, but like, this is so cool. So you got this idea, and this is where most people stop. You know, they go on with their life. What was it that made you like, hey, I'm going to build a product around this?
Well, I have built a bunch of apps in the past, and I build apps for other people. I think that's like, to me, I look at it kind of like art in terms of being able to build something. I love creating something and making a tool or bringing something into existence. It's exciting to see these things come into like fruition from like an idea, and you can build something. And so I just took like, you know, and I still do build stuff for other customers in order to try and put some money and back into my pocket. Yeah. So if anyone does want to build an app, I'm always excited to do that. That is something I found that I do love doing, which is the early stage of idea and creation, and working through the early stage of that idea and trying to test it into a marketplace, and bring that and then start building something. I really love that experience, you know.
And you're great at it. I mean, you're always asking me these questions that pisses me off because I don't have the answers on them, but they're so good. So I mean, you're really good at that, like kind of sparking people's ideas.
And it's really cool, even where we are today, you know, sitting here in Santa Monica on the promenade, where there's all these people walking up and down the promenade every day, and we can just step outside the promenade and say, hey, here's an idea. Would you use this? Would you buy this? Would you, you know, what have you seen like this? And there's so many people out there that you can immediately connect with and talk to.
Yeah.
So it's such a cool place to have an office and just be kind of situated. So I am excited about CallCast kind of as a product and bringing this together, like kind of like you said, and from my, it kind of has a connection to my earlier experiences as a kid, just kind of, you know, having so much love for NPR and people telling their stories. You know, I grew up listening to like one podcast that was like the earliest of podcasts, but I listened to it on NPR. It's called This American Life.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people of your listeners know about it. It's, you know, just, it's such like an iconic podcast, and I just love that it would like tell people's stories, you know, of their lives. And to me, what CallCast is best suited for is, you know, calling somebody and connecting with them and asking them questions and getting them to share their story. And then, you know, so it's meant for your beginner kind of novice podcaster, just to pick up the phone and call somebody and get to know them better and push it to iTunes.
I love that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I just want to say like we're talking about this, like when you are different, like we all feel different in some situation. You felt it in school. I felt it in school too. I was bullied. Many people feel it in like their workforce or like even in their family or in their city or country or whatever. And stories that we get to share today through podcasts makes us feel less lonely. Like I had on the 150th episode, I had Leon Lagoteres, the kindness guy, and he talked like kindness is making someone feel less alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think podcasts are doing an amazing job by sharing a timestamp of another individual's thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I can listen to that when I go to the gym and feel less alone. Mm. You know, I think one of my best memories from podcasting is when I'm in my small town in Halmstad in Sweden, and I was at the gym and I was listening to this podcast, and it was an Australian guy, like a motivational, I don't remember his name, but he was recording a podcast as he was running on Bondi Beach in Australia, and kind of talking me through what he was experiencing combined with his thoughts for like motivation and stuff like that. And that moment was amazing to me because I could feel the environment. I could hear the environment. I couldn't see it, which in a way I even liked more because it made me imagine how would it look like going to this place? Mm. Like, how can I do to become a person like him? So I think what you're doing is great, and you're making something more accessible to more people. Look at what happened to, if we talk about Kodak, was once one of the biggest companies in the world. I don't think Kodak exists anymore as a company. Then Instagram came, right? And made it so accessible for pictures. Made it so easy for people to share. So I think what you're doing here, like you're gonna let people share stories in a way that we have never seen before. Mm.
I hope so. I hope it just makes it more accessible and easier to connect with people. I hope, you know, the opportunity is there. I think, as you know, one of the hardest obstacles maybe of podcasting, and you'll be able to answer this, you know, is just getting going, getting guests, and getting that courage, that nerve to turn on the microphone and start recording. Because it takes a lot of, you're putting yourself out there. So anytime you put yourself out there into the world, that takes a lot of courage, and you're willing to take that risk of humiliation. You know, again, for me as a kid, standing up in front of a classroom, being laughed at. We probably, every person you talk to, especially as, you know, I can't even imagine what kids deal with these days with the amplification of social media, being bullied or laughed at and stuff like that. It's huge problems. Yeah. So, you know, on one hand, you know, these tools make things a lot more accessible, but they also expose us a lot more, and we have to be more vulnerable. And I think vulnerability is something that it's like appreciated more or understood more the older we get, like how powerful and special it is to be vulnerable. Because when you're vulnerable as a young kid, you're showing weakness. And you get picked on or beat up for that. And so then you turn off your vulnerability. So somebody willing to come and plug in these microphones like you're doing and start a podcast and have conversations. And now we also live in a time where everything you say can be hyper scrutinized. You know, everything is critiqued, and they can take little sound bites of some, you know, maybe you're talking about a bigger point, but now they isolate a small little thing you said, and now all of a sudden you just all of you and everything you've said just represents that little soundbite. So it's a very dangerous thing too, you know? Because people out there, some people who maybe feel marginalized themselves or picked on themselves then turn to picking on other people. And so they turn into these kind of like bullies or something like that, and they're out to destroy people without giving people the benefit of the doubt or willing to listen.
Everything is has a balance. And I think, I mean, this has always existed even before social media. So I would just encourage everybody, if you have something in your heart, please do it, you know, because people are gonna have opinions about you anyways. I mean, there's so many people that are supporting you. We are supporting you right here. And we love that you even are thinking about sharing some story, and it doesn't have to be something crazy. Just like, you know, I want to have like my dad and my mom on my podcast. I want it to be a timestamp, you know, of their thoughts at this moment. So just a little bit curious, like, who is call
casting? Let me piggyback on what you're saying, though, because that's the other side of the equation. So on one hand is, you know, you're vulnerable and that can be scary. But then once you embrace that, so that where does the rewards lie? And the rewarding stuff lies in the most dangerous, scariest places, right? So because it's scary and you're putting yourself out there and you become vulnerable, then later that becomes the most like rewarding, special thing ever. And so that's where I wanted to go and kind of congratulating you, because one of the things that I've watched with you as you've done your podcast now, and you've recorded how many podcasts?
This is 156.
156 different people you've talked with. You know, you've emailed. Okay, you've done 156 podcasts. How many emails do you think you sent for guests?
Thousands.
Thousands of emails. Yeah. You know, you know, it's like you're putting yourself out there every day trying to connect with people, saying, hey, I'm here. Come talk to me. Have a conversation. I want to talk to you. And getting having to face no's, but you do it anyway. And then you meet people, and then I've watched you kind of grow your network of amazing people over and over again, just because you're willing to put yourself out there in a vulnerable way. You've now gone to events that you never would have gone to those events. You've been invited to special kind of exclusive parties and stuff that you would never have gotten to go to had you not sent the emails, where some people say no, some people don't respond, but those people who do respond to you have opened up your world in a way that had you just come to America and then stayed in that little room and not branched out, can you imagine what your world and kind of being here in California would look like had you just kind of locked yourself and hid away? Yeah. No, you've gone out there and you've contacted people. Hey, I'd love to talk to you. You put yourself out there. So you made you faced your vulnerabilities and your fears, and now you've grown from that and become, you know, this amazing person with an amazing mission, you know, opening your mind and, you know, your heart to all these people. Yeah. To me, I think, you know, that far outweighs, you know, the fear.
Thank you for saying that, and I truly appreciate it. And we're talking about that there's like a golden era of having a podcast today, and I believe that every creator, every trainer, every yogi, every small business like should have a podcast, not to get millions of listeners, but to get your brand out there for the search engines, and also to have people recognize your voice. Just imagine yourself, even if, let's say you're in marketing and you're applying for this cool job at a big firm, and they're Googling your name, and there it comes up, Adam Weber's School of Marketing. And all of a sudden, that's pretty cool, right? Even if you just recorded a couple of episodes or had a couple of phone calls with your classmates in school. So I almost see this as Instagram is amazing for pictures. I see Callcast as a way of expressing yourself through audio.
100%. The other thing, you know, to piggyback off what you're saying is audio, especially the way people consume it today, where people have their earphones in their ears and they have their earphones, and so you're right in somebody's ear. That is a very intimate way to connect to somebody, you know, powerful. And it's very powerful. You are right plugged into somebody's head. Your voice is channeling right into their ears, into their brain. Like that is the closest, you know, form of connection right there. You know, so it's like, being able to have that level of intimacy where you're sharing your message and somebody can get to know you, I think is a very, very powerful form of medium today. So I you know, podcasts are exploding right now because, you know, it's such an old medium. It's been around for such a long time. But all of a sudden, everybody has a smartphone and everybody has iTunes or Google Play and Stitcher and Pandora and, all the different ways to listen to audio right in their phone, and these earphones, so we can be, you know, in the car, on the bus, on the train, walking the dog, you know, these ways of consuming that we just didn't have, you know, years ago. It just wasn't lined up as the stars now are perfectly aligned for this medium to be really connected to people. And people, I think, are thirsting for information. You know, they're thirsting for content and being able to have a connection. Like you said, you know, you feel very connected, like that person who is in Australia. You know, you want to connect with people with new ideas.
And I think also from a marketing standpoint, if you are selling any type of products, this is a way for your customers to get to know you for free. It's called the freemium model, right? You give. And then, like, when people know you, they're more likely to invest in your product than just an ad on Facebook on and maybe even TV, right? Because now this is personal. I know this guy from Australia. Like, it's amazing. I want to talk to that guy. I want to buy a product from him, even more so than like a big brand, of course, depending on the product. So I think from a marketing standpoint, it's amazing too, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think we want to support and buy from, you know, the things that we believe in ourselves that represent, you know, the things that we feel connected to. And so you want to support the people that, you know, you form this relationship with. So relationship sales are huge.
And thank you everybody for watching and listening to the I Love Success podcast here with Adam Weber. We're going to put the link to Callcast. You can just press that and download the app. Get started, try it out. You know, I'm sure that you will enjoy this process somehow of recording interviews and conversations with people and sharing that. If you want to learn more about I Love Success, check us out at ilovesuccess.co. We have more than 150 conversations for free, which means you can learn from some of the best minds in the world and improve your own life. I give away a couple of free chapters of my book and all of those things. The only thing I ask from you is to, like, if you like what we do, just share it with somebody. Give us a review so we can help more people. That's the only thing I would ask from you this time. And I'll talk to you next week.